Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, that's all wrong. This is the Sean Hannity Program, and I'm your host, Rush Limbaugh. Hey, that's my truth. This is Wretched Radio, whether I believe it or not, that's what it is. But these days, living in a postmodern world, whatever you want to believe is. That is the culture that we are currently immersed in. And those are the people to whom we must bring the word of truth, the exclusive gospel of Jesus Christ, and to persuade people that you cannot make up your own reality. We simply try to study reality to understand what it actually is. But these days, in a postmodern world, you make reality whatever you want it to be. Along comes Jesus Christ, who answers the very old question, what is truth? And he answers it not by saying, well, here's the construct, here's the concept, here's the philosophy, here's the logical system to get you there. No, he answers it in himself. Truth is not a thing. Truth is not abstract. Truth is a person, Jesus Christ himself. Let's go to KSU. Met a very polite, nice young man. He drives within the lines. So apparently he believes those lines are true. He believes that when you go to Starbucks and they tell you it's $5, he doesn't believe it's 8 cents. He lives in one world, but he's forced to believe another thing, and that all truth is valid truth and it's Plato. You make it up as you go. This was my witness encounter with Luke.
You know, I grew up like Christian, so I would say like, from a Christian's perspective, like truth is like God brought us here, God put us on the earth, and he died on the cross for us. And from like our perspective though, truth is just, I mean, it just depends on your perspective, really, like how you grew up, what your experiences in life, and like truth is more so like, it can be really what you make of it, I guess.
So can I make my own truth? All right, let me tell you what I believe. Okay. I believe that if before I die, I visit Pittsburgh 10 times and eat 4 pounds of chocolate at the Pittsburgh Chocolate Factory for all of eternity, I will spend in Hershey, Pennsylvania, eating Hershey's Kisses for all of eternity. That's what I believe is true. Am I right?
See, that's basically my point, where I was like, that's your perspective. It doesn't affect me what you believe. And a certain sense, I guess it does. Like, but if you believe that, then I mean, that's all you. Like, I respect that. And like, who am I to say like what's true and what's wrong? Like, truth is just honestly whatever you want to believe in. And like, if that works for you, if that makes your like life better, and like you can go through your life like, hey, like I have something that I believe in and something that like I can like put my trust in, and you have purpose in life, then I guess finding purpose in life is like the main overall purpose and truth, I guess.
Let me test that theory, okay? If I believe that clubbing small children to death is fun and I benefit from it and I enjoy it and it's my truth that it's okay, would you agree with my truth?
Okay, well, that's getting into laws and like, okay, obviously stuff like that is just like, just
morally incorrect. I'll work with you on that. But why is that morally incorrect?
Because as humans, like we grow up and like, it's like, I don't know, human like morale, like you just like have an instinct to like do good things. And
but if my instinct is to do that, then who is anybody to say that I'm wrong?
Because with the whole truth thing, see, with that, you're having an actual, like, effect and, like, a hurt on other people, like, you're affecting the children you're killing. But if your truth, like, is just, like, in, like, a religion or something like that, and you're not, like, affecting anybody else, then, like, you can believe, like, whatever you want if that's
what you want. Well, I agree, but I think you might be jumping categories just a little bit, okay? Basically, what you're saying is if it hurts somebody, it's not acceptable, correct?
Sure. All right.
But I'm going to press on that.
All right.
Luke, why? So what if I hurt somebody? Who cares?
I mean, you wouldn't want somebody to hurt you. I mean, like, each person has their own story, their own life, their own, like, I guess, like, in a selfish sense, like, everybody's, like, doing their own thing. Like, everybody has a life. Everybody has their own purpose and stuff.
I understand. But if truth is up for grabs for anybody to define, then who would you be to impose your values on me who likes to club small children? So what if it hurts a kid? Who cares? If there is no objective truth, then clubbing a child is not an issue of right or wrong. It's merely an issue of preference. You can say, I don't prefer beating up kids, but if you do, that's your preference. But if there's an objective standard of truth and morality, then we would have an arbiter to determine who's meeting the standard or not. You track it with me?
So are you advocating for, like, complete, like, libertarianism? Like, you just do whatever you want, like, whoever you are?
No, what I would suggest to you is that without some sort of moral authority, there is no morality. For instance, if there were no signs on this street right next to us, no speed limits, no stop signs, I could barrel through here at 100 miles an hour because nobody said it's wrong. But if the legal authority posts a sign that says 15 miles an hour and stop there, now I have to do it. And if I blast through here at 100 miles an hour, I can be tagged and be found guilty because the authority has said you will go this fast and no faster. And I think the same thing is true with morality. Unless there's an authority who says you don't beat up little kids, then it's merely preference and I can do what I want. That's what I'm driving at.
Okay, but so, like, for you personally, you're saying, like, I don't understand, like, what your, like standpoint is. So you're saying, like,
I really haven't shared any sort of view with you.
Okay, that's what
we're talking. Well, I can share. Do you want me to share my understanding?
I'm wondering, like, your perspective, I guess, because I mean, I'm in such a young stage in life, and such, like, college is like a find your way type of deal.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been listening to, like, the, like, you know, I'm young. I haven't really got into much, like purpose, truth, and, like, deep stuff like that, because for me, life more recently has become more of, like, a serious thing, you know, like, in high school and as a kid, like, life, like, you know, you're just trying to out there have fun. That's the truth in life, have fun as a kid. But when you get older, like, it's more about, like, you know, job, family, like, providing for yourself and others, and, like, also, like, it's funny you ask, because I've been doing so much looking recently about, like, what is, like, Earth? Like, is this a simulation? Is stuff like that? Conspiracies, like, flat Earth. I'm not saying I'm a flat earther, but looking into, like, just, like, purpose of the Earth and stuff like that. Like, where we came from.
Can I pay you a compliment?
For sure.
How old are you?
18.
You're 18?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You just exhibited a tremendous amount of humility. And that's really rare for an 18-year-old to say, I don't really have this stuff figured out. I'm trying to, but I don't think I've got it.
I mean, you're asking a question that, like, who really can have it figured out?
So now let's just say your death date comes, whenever it is. You walk out, that bus hits you, you get mowed down. You are instantly standing before God. And the books on Luke's life are opened up, and he knows every thought, every word, every deed done in darkness will be brought into the light. Will God find you innocent or guilty?
Well, I mean, considering God doesn't, like, from my knowledge, God doesn't judge you whether or not, like, the bad things you've done, because we all do bad things. So I would say yes, because I believe.
Yes, what?
Yes, he would forgive me because, like, I believe. But, I mean, he would, like, looking over, if it was just based thoroughly on, like, whether I sin or not or do bad things, then I would say no, because everybody does bad things.
All right, so then help me out. You just said that God would forgive you. It seems to me that if I stood before a judge and I was guilty and I said, but, judge, I believe in you, he's going to say, well, that's kind of weird, frankly. You're going to jail. Because you've got a debt to society and you're going to pay it. Why would God let you off the hook?
Because you believe in, like, a greater good, I guess. Like, you believe in him and, like, your life purpose was, like, I guess, like, rooted in him and not, like, I mean, like, it's really unfair to compare, like, a jury sentence in real life to, like, of outer worldly, like.
Well, I agree with that, but only insofar as this is a lesser version of the heavenly reality. It'll be much more accurate, much more thorough, much higher standards than an earthly court.
Did you catch that? This is an example, a perfect demonstration of what universities try to instill into students. Math, true. Science, verifiable. Religion, abstract, because that realm, it's kind of the realm of la-la land. Only things that are empirical, observable, testable, those are the only things that qualify for truth. Luke personifies that worldview, so we will continue our conversation with this postmodern young man to introduce him to the person of truth next on Wretched Radio.
There's a lot of Christian content out there that sounds deep, but it actually isn't. It's inspirational. It's nice, but it doesn't actually help you when life gets hard. Fortis Forums are completely different. We're talking about how to comfort someone who's grieving and what Scripture actually says, not just what sounds nice. We're talking about marriage when things aren't easy and mental health and whether the Bible has real answers. Biblical manhood for a generation that's never been really given a model to follow. These are in-depth conversations with people like Dr. Jason Lyle, Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Crotts, teachers who take the Bible seriously and don't shy away from the hard topics. These Fortis Forums are all on Fortis Plus for you to watch right now for free. And they're ready when you are. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org and see what biblical depth actually looks like.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem. Because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought. It's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Revelation.
God has revealed himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand his moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What do science, math, and religion have in common? This is Wretched Radio. Visited KSU, Kennesaw State University. I dig going there. Like talking to these students. They are polite, they are friendly, and frankly, they're actually interested in talking about the subject of God. And so it was, I met a young man named Luke, and he personified postmodernism. And he was under the delusion that science and math, they exist in one realm, religion in another. Well, no, they don't. Now, granted, I can have all kinds of beliefs, and we can have disparate beliefs, but that doesn't mean that beliefs aren't either true or false. The postmodern mindset, and Luke demonstrates this so clearly, says it's true in the realm of religion, but just for you, which we know is absolutely ridiculous. But that is an argument that seems to have won the day. And so it is. We're going to continue my conversation with postmodern Luke at Kennesaw State University.
See, I think the reason, Luke, you know, we're talking about truth, that we've got court systems. I think that a lot of things that happen on earth are a mirrored reflection of what's going on in heaven. We have justice because God is just. We're in relationships because God is in a relationship with himself. We work because God works. We're artistic because God is artistic. We communicate because God communicates. So we reflect him in those senses. God is extremely just, and he's going to make sure that every deed that has been done that is against his law, he's going to deal with it in a court, and nobody's going to get off the hook with a clever lawyer. So Luke, tell me, based on your background, your knowledge, why would God let you go? Think back.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think about this one.
To Easter. I'm giving you a hint.
Because he took all of our sin away from us.
There it is. You broke God's law. Jesus paid your fine.
Correct.
That's how God can be just and the justifier of those who believe in him. If God just lets people go, he's not just, but he's provided a way to be just and loving and merciful all at the same time. Sent his son, took on human form, died a cruel death on your behalf that can get presented to God as payment in full for your crimes against him, and he can set you free because of what Jesus did. That's called the gospel. That's good news. And Luke, because we're talking about truth here, I would suggest to you that that story is true, definitively, beyond the shadow of a doubt, for many reasons. But one of them is it answers all of the big questions of life coherently. Where did you come from? Why are you here? How are you supposed to live? What's going to happen when I die? You're a thoughtful kid. So sorry, I called you kid. Ouch, that hurt me more than it hurt you. I promise you. You're a thoughtful young man. As you look at all of these worldviews, see if they answer those questions in a way that doesn't contradict each other and that makes sense. Because here's what the Bible says. God thought of you before eternity began. He made you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He formed you. He's given you life. He's given you a lot of good things. He's given you a creation to let you know that he exists. He's put you into a church where you've heard the good news of the gospel. He wants you to believe in him wholeheartedly and live for him the rest of your life. That's your purpose in life. And when you die, you go to heaven to be with the one who made you and loves you more than anybody else on the planet. So when you study these other worldviews, it tends to get a little hinky with harmonizing all of those things.
For sure. That's my personal downfall. I definitely need to like look more into like generalize like pros and cons of like all the religions and stuff, because for me the biggest thing that I struggle with is like growing up in a Christian home can be like as good and as bad like on either end, because I grew up just like where that was like the automatic truth. And like, I didn't really find it on my own. So I guess I struggle with, you know, there could be a kid in Syria who grew up believing in Islam. And if he's over there and he's willing to say like die for his religion, who's to say that he's wrong and I'm right?
You know, that's our whole conversation.
For sure.
Right? What is truth? Now, but here's a challenge to you on that. Luke, if you follow that like really doggedly, you're going to have to travel to the outer edges of the universe to make sure that there isn't another truth or religion out there.
Yeah,
I would suggest to you that your search for truth can actually stop when you find it. Once I've concluded this is definitively true, Jesus rose from the dead for sinners, there's no reason to go look at every other religion that exists. There's thousands of them. When you find the truth, search is done. When you look for your car keys, when you find them, you don't keep looking.
For sure.
And if you found the truth, your search is over. So the question then is Jesus the truth?
I mean, I would answer yes, but...
Oh, the butt word.
I struggle with, like, possibilities and, like, other religions and, like...
But if you'll track with me, I think we can eliminate those options for you. If Jesus Christ is God, and if Jesus Christ walked this earth and did indeed get brutally beaten, spat upon, mocked, and hung on a cross for you so your sins can be forgiven, and he claimed, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, that is either correct and all of those other systems are wrong, or he's wrong. That's what you're left with. So you need to either fully embrace the deity of Jesus Christ or reject it, because he doesn't give you that option.
Agreed, but I don't think it's like wrong in any way to like question, look for evidence and like strengthen argument. So like look for proof and stuff. I don't think that's really like...
I'm going to tell you something really wacky. Okay, this is going to make you go, oh man. Understanding all of these things, the Bible says an unregenerate man can't get them. God's order is not, all right, think everything through, logic, reason, examination, figure out every single world system, weigh them, balance them, then come to a conclusion, even if it's me, terrific. And you figured it out, and now you're following the right system. That's not God's order. God says, you must be born again, and then it's going to make sense to you. It's the opposite, because we're having spiritual conversations right now, and spiritual things cannot be discerned by somebody who's not spiritual. So I know that like kind of flies into your logic and reason center, but God says, I want you to humble yourself like a child. That's what he's after. I want you to humble yourself, and I'll reveal to you what truth is progressively as you go. All right. Your take on all of this is what?
Very informative and a good, like, eye-opener, I guess.
Okay, can we, like, without this, like, being the interview, man, I would just love for you to consider these things and think it through, all right? We asked the first question, what is truth? Jesus said, I'm the truth. He didn't write it down. It's not in a book someplace where you can go visit it and read about it. He said, I'm it. I embody truth. So the answer to the question, what is truth, is not a phrase or an ideology. It's a person. Jesus Christ is the truth.
And that was the day I understood Campus Ministries. That conversation with a young man named Luke, who was open at least to hearing my religious perspective. He was actually asking good questions. And when I left that encounter, I remember feeling rather heavy-hearted. Oh, just to be on this campus for a longer amount of time, to be here regularly, to be accessible, even to a kid like Luke, or to 1,000 other young people who are just plain confused, and they realize it. They actually are understanding it. And I think increasingly they are understanding that what they are being taught in class does not comport with reality. And they are feeling like, I'm being told that there's no morals and values, only that which we created as a culture. But I know for sure that the culture that created Nazi Germany was wrong. and oh, to be there to help them sort out their worldview. I have a friend, and she regularly goes to campus ministry. This is Jen. She heads up the What Time Is Purple program, distributing booklets onto university campuses. And she goes to the campus all the time. And I remember thinking, okay, you know, that's your thing. That's what you're into. But I remember after this conversation with Luke, I remember going, I understand why Jen likes to go there regularly. She's out there every single week. I get it. I understand it. Having a presence, being with these kids and answering these questions because they're perplexed, they're confused, and their feet are firmly planted in midair. In other words, they are utterly confused and they're looking for an adult who would actually care to take the time and explain these things to them earnestly and respectfully. I would plead with you, if you have the opportunity to have a regular presence on a campus, especially in connection with a good local church, please come up with your game plan. Get out there, establish a beachhead, and go there week after week after week after week so that you can meet Luke and Sarah and Jane and Bill and explain to them the truth. I'm telling you, they are open and interested, and we can help them not just sort out their thinking, but to change their believing. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A 20-year-old woman took the stand last week in a landmark trial against YouTube and Meta. And her testimony? It should make every parent's blood run cold. This woman, identified only as KGM, told the court that she started using social media at the age of 6, posted more than 300 YouTube videos before she turned 10, joined Instagram around the age of 9, and says the platform's algorithms and constant notifications kept her hooked. And she links Instagram filters directly to depression, insomnia, self-harm, and body image struggles. Mark Zuckerberg insists kids under 13 are banned from the platform, and the head of Instagram compared heavy use to binge-watching TV, because apparently renaming a problem just makes it disappear. Yeah, no, it doesn't. And speaking of kids, an Institute for Family Studies analysis shows young families are voting with their moving trucks and heading to red states. States that went for Trump in 2024 gained over 500,000 children under 18 since 2019, while states that went for Kamala Harris saw kids under 5 drop from 8.2 to 7.6 million. California alone lost 290,000 kids under the age of 5. Turns out families are preferring freedom in a backyard over that studio apartment and pronoun policy. And that pronoun culture also keeps producing rotten fruit. Not the Bee posted a video of a California protester reportedly threatening to kill an activist over her opposition to gender surgeries on children. If your position is just so solid that you need to resort to death threats to defend it, that tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it? In Fairfax County, Virginia, a woman named Stephanie Minter was found stabbed to death at a bus stop on February 23rd. Police arrested a man and charged him with second-degree murder. The man, well, he's been booked more than 30 times, with many cases dropped before prosecution. And DHS blasted the county for dismissing charges and ignoring immigration detainers, while the local sheriff says she just follows orders. That's what happens to innocent people when the system just continues to recycle violent offenders. Meanwhile, in Wyoming, the state Supreme Court struck down 2 post-op pro-life laws in a 4-1 ruling, claiming the state constitution protects a right to abortion. One justice dissented, calling the laws reasonable and necessary. The attorney general's request for a rehearing was rejected in February, and proposed constitutional amendments failed to even get introduced during the budget session. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done right now at FortisInstitute.org. Also, please don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And I really wish you would, and tell your friends to do it. Rate it 5 stars. You know, all that good stuff. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Numbers tells the story of Israel's wandering in the desert for 40 years. The journey from Egypt to Canaan should have only taken 11 days, but Israel's grumbling and disobedience angered God, and none of the Israelites were allowed to enter the Promised Land. But God remained faithful and led their children into their inheritance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Malcolm, who is studying... What are you studying here?
Media entrepreneurship.
All right, here's my question for you. What is your explanation for the universe? Why is there a creation?
Oh, that's deep. I mean, I believe in God first, so I believe that he created the universe kind of in his image. Like, we all are intended to do certain things. So he created us. We can specifically do the task that we were in place to do.
Well, that's a pretty good answer. That's actually a Bible verse. Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's Ephesians 2:7, by the way, what you just quoted, that God created the universe really for one purpose, to save sinners, and that we would do the works that he prepared beforehand for us. Yes. So that's a pretty good Bible answer. Tell me, why do you believe that?
I mean, I believe it because, okay, so let's say, like, that wasn't true. And then what would the real explanation of why we are here be? I mean, it would be completely random, kind of. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and it would be purposeless, certainly.
Yes, sir.
All right, but tell me, you sound like you actually believe the Bible. How come?
I mean, number one, I was brought up in the church, but then my family, we kind of moved away for a little bit. So that allowed me to kind of go out like on my own and kind of experiment around. And then things just wasn't making sense like they was beforehand. So that's why I kind of believe in it more now, because I kind of saw what it was like without it.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you're very odd. Yeah. Because most young people who go to church come off to university and they go in the exact opposite direction. They don't become more Christian. They tend to fly away from it. So you're very unusual.
Yeah.
All right. So then let me ask you, Malcolm, as a Christian, if I walked up to you and I said, you know, dude, there's something about you. Whatever it is that you have, I'd like to have. So would you please teach me what it is that you believe so I can believe the exact same thing? What would you say to me?
I don't think it's necessarily that you should believe what I do. I think it's more from the standpoint of you should discover kind of your own path, because I don't want to like force Christianity on people.
Well, I'm not asking you to force it, but just tell me why you believe what you believe, because I'm very interested. So you won't offend me no matter what you say.
Okay. You should believe in him because you should believe that you was made with a purpose and that you could be saved from the standpoint, because there's a lot of people kind of out there that are doing things that they're not too proud of. And they think that, oh, they can't be saved because they had all these years of bad stuff behind them. When a lot of people, like, in the church itself, like, if you go, like, you wouldn't really know it, but they all kind of have, not all of them, but a majority of them kind of have, like, their own kind of bad little past. But, yeah, bro, you hit me with the deep questions all over it. Like,
all right, you said two things. I want to ask you some questions so you can explain it. Use two words that jumped out there. Purpose, that I'll have purpose if I believe in God. But, Malcolm, if I said to you, you know, I do. I've got a wonderful wife. I've got terrific kids. I live a nice life. Get to go out to eat on occasion. I'm good. I don't need purpose. How would you respond to that?
I mean, it seems like that person kind of got it figured out for now.
So purpose wouldn't necessarily be a reason to believe what you believe. You used a second word twice, saved. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
That's more from the point of if you believe in heaven and hell. Like, when I'm saying saved, I mean from the point of the sins that you've done in the past. And if you believe in heaven and hell, that you can, like, hopefully go to heaven, depending upon what you've done and if you have, like, kind of given your life to God.
If I don't believe in heaven or hell, does that mean I don't need to be saved?
Me personally, I believe that person still should be saved.
Why?
Whether that person doesn't believe or does believe, I believe they should be saved. However, if they don't want to be saved, I don't want to, like, push it onto that person.
Yeah. I understand that. All right, let me turn the tables on you. I'm going to ask you to follow me just for a second.
Okay.
I'm a Christian, right? So I'm going to give you my shot at why you should become a Christian, right? Who made this microphone?
The guy who... Sure.
Yeah. All right. Are you sure that Sure made this microphone?
Either he made it or his company made it. I mean, his name...
Fair. Yeah, that's right. Fair enough. All right. Malcolm, have you ever been to the Sure factory?
I have not.
Are you 100% sure this microphone was made somewhere by somebody?
I mean, it exists, so it has to be made somewhere by somebody.
Total agreement. This is too complex for this to just happen by itself. Now, your eyes, which observe this microphone, are more complex by a million times than this microphone. The wiring that then goes into your brain to process this information, have it expressed through your vocal cords, it is a bazillion times more intricately designed than this microphone. So I intuit, if somebody made this microphone, even though I haven't seen the maker, I haven't been to the plant, I conclude beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are also made by a maker, that we are created. So I start foundationally, God exists. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. And that God exists for everybody. Whether somebody acknowledges that God or not, doesn't make any difference. He's still the one who made everything and has ownership rights on everyone. Fair enough?
Yep.
All right. So now I'm trying to figure out who this God is. And I'm asking myself some big questions. Why are we here? What is the point? How do I live? Where am I going when I die? So I try to answer those questions. And here's what I conclude. I know that I have done bad things. You know, you were talking about the bad things that everybody's done. I've got a conscience. It's a courtroom in your brain that says that was not right to do that. You shouldn't have looked at those images. You shouldn't have cheated on the test. You shouldn't have stolen that pen. I just know I've done bad things. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
All right. So now, if I observe the planet, I see courts, I see police, I see judges, and a justice system, that wrongdoing should be punished. And I think that the maker who made us has given us a conscience, that courtroom in our brain to tell us we've done wrong because we have got ourselves a big problem. We are guilty before God. We are seen as guilty criminals. And God, if he is just, which I get a sense he is because I see and have a sense of justice, he's going to punish people for their law breaking. And that's why when I die, I've got this nagging feeling this is not going to go well for me. I've got a sin problem. I've got a debt to pay to God, and I don't have the ability to pay it. So that's what I figured out so far. There's a maker. He's holy. He's righteous. I'm not. I should be punished. Now, I'm going to send the ball over to your side of the net. That's how far we've gotten. You and I are guilty criminals. God should punish us and send us to hell. That's everybody's problem. What did God do so that guilty criminals don't have to go to hell? Can you tell me, Malcolm?
Well, like, he put stuff in place for us to kind of know what's right from wrong. So
I agree. That's your conscience. We concluded that. But you'd agree you're guilty? You've broken God's laws?
I mean, I have before. It's impossible not to do it at least once.
Not loving God the way we should, taking his name in vain, not being a good child, disobedient to our parents, being angry at people, looking with lust, lying, stealing, desiring. We've all done it, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you're a guilty criminal. I'm a guilty criminal. God, he must punish guilty criminals. So now I'm asking you a Christian question. What did God do so that you don't have to be punished by him for eternity?
He created heaven, so I have to be punished eternally.
Well, there's a place called hell.
Yeah, there's heaven and hell.
You and I should go there. That's what we deserve. We're guilty criminals, correct?
I mean, Jesus died on the cross to save us from that, so...
That's what I'm looking for.
I was like, I know he's going somewhere with this. I was like, I'm trying to just figure it out real quick. Yeah.
That's it. That's called the gospel. That's the good news, that God died to save sinners. Because you see, if God just lets bad people off the hook, he'd be like a judge who lets the axe murderer go, or the thief go, or the pedophile go, just because he's trying to be nice. You'd go, you're not being nice. You are not upholding justice. God, is going to uphold justice, and there's going to be a day in his courtroom for everybody. And when the books are open, he's going to see the crimes that they've committed, not just against people, but against him. So God must punish sinners, but God is good. And he's rich in mercy. But here's the conundrum. If God just lets guilty criminals go, he's not just. But if God can have the fine that you and I owe satisfied, paid, then he can let you off the hook because somebody paid your fine. That's what Jesus did for you. He paid your fine. Even though you've broken his laws, he paid your fine so that you could be forgiven and not go to hell, but go to heaven. That's the good news of the gospel. And that is why I think that people should become Christians. You should become a Christian because Jesus is your God, and you're going to face him on Judgment Day, and it's not going to be pretty. He's not going to be tender and meek and mild. He's the just judge of all the world, and he's going to send lawbreakers to hell, but he'll save you this day if you'll repent and put your trust in Jesus. That's what I would say to somebody. Are you persuaded?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I appreciated the chat. No Malcolm, here, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. 369 million. That's how many people are a part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And if you've never heard of it, that's part of the problem. Maybe you have heard of Jesus culture. Maybe your teenager listens to their worship music. Maybe your church sings their songs on Sunday morning. But you don't know what they actually teach and where it leads. Drunk in the Spirit pulls back the curtain on one of the most destructive forces in Christianity today. Who are these people? What do they believe? And why should it matter to your family and your local church? This isn't fear-mongering. It's education, because you can't guard against something you don't recognize. And this movement has tentacles in places you wouldn't expect. If you care about protecting your family and your church from false teaching that sounds Christ-centered, but it's not, this is essential. Drunk in the Spirit. It is streaming now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Am I trying to be obnoxious? This is Wretched Radio. You might agree that I actually am obnoxious, but the question in this witness encounter with a young lady named Kenya, am I trying to be obnoxious? Am I trying to be nitpicky? Am I trying to ask too many questions? Just lighten up. She says that she's a believer. Just let it go. It is not mean to probe, especially when you get the feeling that an individual's ability to articulate the reason for the hope that lies within them is just not strong. Now, I'm not saying if it's not a robust defense of the faith, an explanation of their conversion story, right motives, all of those things. And I'm not saying that it automatically means they're not saved. But is there anything more important in a witness encounter with somebody who professes to be a Christian than helping them to know whether they are or are not? Isn't it really a kindness to question them? Besides, a true believer wouldn't care. I like to think that if you approached me and said, hey, what's your religion? What's your worldview? And you started probing and asking questions, that wouldn't bother. I remember this vividly. Mark Dever, I was at a conference in Washington, D.C. years ago, first time I met him. He wasn't as big a deal back then. Didn't know who he was. So I said, who are you? He said, I'm Mark Dever. I said, well, what do you do? He said, I'm a pastor at Capitol Hill Baptist Church. He said, who are you? And I said, I'm Todd. What do you do? Host a radio program in Minneapolis. Are you born again? What? I said, why did you ask me that? Wouldn't you assume we're at a Christian conference? And he said, I never assume. I always want to know that somebody is saved. He wasn't a jerk. He wasn't obnoxious. It is actually a kindness, a joy, this encounter with Kenya, where I tried to not be obnoxious, but actually care.
Kenya, I have a very philosophical question for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
When you look around, do you ever see things that are really nice, beautiful things, lovely sunsets, people being kind? Do you ever experience those things?
Yes.
Do you ever experience or see bad things or evil behavior?
Not really, no.
Do you watch the evening news?
Not really.
But you know that people do bad things happen, correct?
Yes.
How would you explain the existence of both good things and bad things, beautiful things and evil things? Do you have an explanation for why those things coexist?
Well, I think good things, because God is good, so we strive to be good like God, so we can be with Him. But like bad things, that's just during the trials and tribulations of our life.
So you believe in God. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
All right. So from your Christian worldview, how would you explain to me why, okay, if God exists, then why is there good stuff and why is there bad stuff? Why isn't it all just good?
Because not everyone believes in God, so they might not believe in the same things as you do.
Okay.
So that might put like you through trials and tribulations.
All right. You said that we do good things to get to God. Is that how you said it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So how much good do I need to do to get to God?
I don't think it's about doing as much. It's like not doing what's wrong, like thinking about your actions before you do them. And then if you do something wrong, then repent.
All right. And what does that mean?
Like being asked for your forgiveness for your sins, you know?
Okay. And do they just get taken care of? How do those go away?
God forgives you, so it just washes clean.
How come?
Because you're forgiven.
Okay. But I'm just thinking, if I say to a judge, if I were brought in by the police, I'd broken some laws, and I said to the judge, I'm really sorry. And if he just dismissed my case, he'd be a bad judge. So how is it that God forgives people when they say they're sorry?
He can look into your actions, you know. And like judges, their job is to protect the people. So if they feel like you're doing wrong and you can hurt yourself and others, and obviously you're going to have to go to jail. But it's different, I guess.
But if I'm a guilty criminal, and I say to God, I'm sorry, and he just kind of lets it go, isn't that unjust?
No, not if you mean it.
All right, help me out with this, Kenya. So if I say to the judge, I really, really mean it. I know I shouldn't have punched that person in the nose, done 90 in a school zone, taken that money from my employer. I'm really, 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 really sorry. If he forgives my debt, isn't he being unjust? Doesn't somebody need to pay my penalty, pay for the fine, pay justice for the crimes that I've committed?
You would pay.
How?
You'd go to jail.
All right, so from your Christian worldview standpoint, don't you have to pay and go to jail too?
Yeah, that's why people go to hell.
If I stand before God, all right, let's just say I die, he takes my life, and he opens up the books on my life, or he opens up the books on your life, and he sees that you and I have both lied, we've both perhaps cheated, dishonored our parents, maybe taken God's name in vain, looked with lust, been angry at people. He knows all those crimes. And if you and I just say, yeah, I know, I did all those bad things, but I'm really sorry, that just isn't going to fly. If he's just, he's got to say, look, you might be sorry, but you've broken the law, and there is a punishment for lawbreakers. Wouldn't he just send everybody to hell?
No.
Why not?
Because being forgiven for your sins doesn't just mean saying I'm sorry. It means like letting God in your heart and actually meaning it.
Okay. How's about this, Kenya? From a Christian perspective, where does Jesus Christ fit into your worldview in this scenario of a courtroom that we've been discussing?
Everywhere.
How?
Because he's like always making stuff happen in my life. All the stuff I've been through, all the trials and tribulations, everything.
What about him dying on a cross?
Yeah, he did that so I would be able to be forgiven for my sins.
There we go. Right? Wouldn't that be the kind, wealthy one paying the debt of the criminal pauper, that Jesus paid the punishment for our crimes when he died on the cross? Isn't that what happened there?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that why we can be forgiven by God? Because Jesus satisfied our debt?
Yes.
So we can be forgiven by God, not merely because we say we're sorry, which we should, but because Jesus is kind. He stepped into the courtroom and said, Your Honor, I love Kenya. I want to pay her fine. I'm going to take the punishment she deserves upon myself so that she can be forgiven and her court case can be dismissed and justice can be satisfied. Isn't that how God can forgive sinners?
Yes.
All right. So that's kind of a crucial deal. So here's a question for you. I don't know you, but let's say I sat down next to you and you said, Jesus Christ took the punishment that you deserve. You're telling it to this guy in the red shirt. And I said, I'm interested in that. I'd like to have my sins forgiven by God so I don't have to go to hell. How do I get forgiven, Kenya? What would you say?
I would just say just to read more in your Bible and just let God in your heart.
How's about this? I come up to you because I have got a knife stuck in the middle of my back. I can't get it out. I am going to be dead in a minute. And I say, Kenya, what must I do to be forgiven by God? I'm terrified to die. I don't have time to read my Bible. What must I do to be saved? What would you tell me?
Let him in your heart.
What does that mean?
Just ask for forgiveness.
Okay. And why would God forgive me for asking for forgiveness?
Because he's good.
And because Jesus died for me, right?
Yeah.
Isn't the biblical term repent? Isn't that what somebody must do to be saved? They must turn from their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And God says, if you trust in my son and what he did for you, I can forgive you on the basis of his good works. That's how you can be forgiven in an instant. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So have you done that?
Yes.
All right. So you've repented, put your trust in Jesus. Why?
Well, from a young age, I've always went to church, and I went with my parents, and when I was like 7, I was like, I really want to get baptized. I really want to just put all my faith in Jesus, and they let me, and ever since then, I've been saved.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So your sins are forgiven because you trusted in Jesus.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Hey, thank you.
And thank you for hopefully not thinking I was just being mean. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.